Angelina's email started off. Hello, Scott. My name is Angie. My father is a resident at Symphony. I'm reaching out to you with my concerns about the transparency of information that the facility has led the media to believe, and the information, or should I say lack of that, has been given to the families of the loved ones residing there. Angie, good morning. Thanks for coming on Slocum in the Morning. We really appreciate you coming on and telling your story.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right. Your dad's name is Donnie Stash, correct?
The pronunciation is Doyne.
Oh, it's Doyne Stash. Okay. Doyne Stash. So he's been living at Symphony for how many years?
A little over two now.
Okay. So 2 years prior to this, was he happy with his accommodations?
Most residents are never happy. There's always something lacking. But we, as their loved ones, needed to be very proactive in their care.
Sure.
I visited the nursing home probably 5 to 7 days a week at times.
Wow.
I live 5 minutes from here. He used to live in Indiana. I made the transfer because I am his, only caregiver at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more convenient for me and for him, just so I could be in his life more.
Well, that's very nice of you. I wish more daughters would take care of their parents like that. So you ought to be commended for that. So let's get to your story now. Your dad has been there for a couple of years. Did he and did all the residents get tested?
What they told me, because I've driven up there many times after something has broken on the news and we received no information, they told me they were doing no testing unless they became symptomatic. Now, last night a news report came out, states that there are only 16 residents left in the facility, and saying that all 16 are COVID positive. I was not notified of anything of that.
In the entire facility?
That is what they're saying. That is what the media said yesterday.
Okay. How many residents, Monica, I know you've been working with, not with, but you've been reporting on Symphony and talking with their PR people. How many residents before all this started? Was it a couple hundred?
It was 165.
Oh, 165. Okay. Wow. All right. So, Angelique, tell us your story. I mean, again, you can't talk to your dad. Your only way to talk with him is through Symphony. So let's kind of take us through this whole story and how we got here today.
Well, actually, I do talk to my father.
Can. Okay.
I Google Duo him every day.
Good. All right.
Yeah. It's like he called me and told me one day he didn't have a top bed sheet. I called the facility, he's laying on a plastic mattress. And called the facility. They said they would do that. 2 days later, my dad tells me again. He still does not have. It's lunch. He got spinach and rice. My dad's 82 years old. He weighs 126 pounds. He can't survive on spinach and rice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm faulting the administration more so than the nurses and the
sure.
CNAs. They are in something that is they've never seen before.
Right.
I spoke with an outside purveyor. When she saw me, she burst into tears and says, this is something out of a horror movie. She says, one day they have symptoms, and the next morning they are gone. Gone.
There have been 24 residents that have died, our latest number, and one employee that passed away. You know who that employee is. I mean, don't mention any names or anything like that, Angelina.
Oh, I won't.
But you mentioned, yeah. you know the person, right?
Oh, absolutely. My father's the one who told me he passed away.
Oh.
He had been employed there 34 years.
Mm. And is this an employee who would see all the residents or go into all the rooms?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
He was all over that building.
Any communication at all from a CNA, from an administrator, from a secretary, from anyone at all regarding what is happening at Symphony?
The last time I spoke with somebody was the first three deaths, the one employee and the two residents.
Which was how long ago, Angie?
I believe March 27th is when they're saying the first death occurred.
Okay. All right.
So,
let me just throw a question out. Maybe Monica or you, Angie, maybe you can answer it. Don't you think it would be the right thing to do? And I'm not telling somebody how to run their nursing home, but the right thing to do to maybe send daily emails or every other day emails to family members who have residents in Symphony, just saying it's Tuesday, April the 13th. Here's what's going on today. We are blah, 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 blah. Just a little update, not take a lot of time to do it, because I know they're busy trying to save lives. But don't you think, Angie, that would be kind of the thing to do, is communicate with people?
I would, in any business, it would be. And especially when you're concerned with all these elderly patients that are more susceptible to this COVID than any one of us.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And it's deadly once they contract it as
and
well.
It's an incubating ground in there. Yeah. A lot of those people, especially on the first floor, was rehabilitation.
Right.
So those people were in and out. The second floor is where the long-term residents are. Those are people that are bedridden, asthma issues, just everything.
And they have an Alzheimer's unit there as well, which is a very secure place. Do you know anything, or have you heard anything, Angie, about what's happening with some of those residents? I got an email from a Ricky that said his aunt was an Alzheimer's patient. She is one of the deceased, and he didn't find out that she died until a couple of days later.
Yeah. I'm not really sure about the Alzheimer's unit. My dad is dementia, but it's more from the Parkinson's than it is anything else, I believe.
Okay.
And he is up to date. He is in the moment with me every time I talk to him.
Okay.
So it's like when he told me somebody passed away, I didn't believe it. And I drove myself to the nursing home instead of calling, because I called and nobody answered the phone.
Right. Absolutely.
And that is when they confirmed it with me, is when I confronted them. It's a beast. They don't know what to do. I think they're lost.
And you feel for the CNAs. You feel for the janitors, the maintenance people, and even, you know, staff management, because this has never happened before. But we are a month into this thing, if not more. I mean, we shut down on March 16th at 9 o'clock, and I go back to that because that was the restaurants and bars and everything, and shelter and stay was, I think, just a couple of days after that, if not maybe just a week, not even a week. But at some point, got to get this figured out. And if you're not figured out, act like you have it figured out and talk to people.
Nursing homes have been shut down since March 9th.
March 9th. Okay.
That's right.
So we go back to then.
The week prior to us shutting down, we were not allowed to go into the facility.
All right.
So then at that point, there should have been some plan in place. I mean, we can't expect the CNAs to know what to do at this point. This is something that we've not seen before. This is where because these are owned by private entities, somebody has to come in, whether it's the National Guard or the government, federal, state, to do something.
Yeah.
Something's got to be done. Is my dad COVID positive? Is he? He's healthy as can be. I have a video of him I videotaped him the day saying happy birthday to my cousin. Is he there? Because they're all, you know, it's rambling up there. Had I had known, I would have took him out March 9th. I was told that I could take him out and bring him to my home.
That was going to be.
Had I known that, I would have done that.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. I mean, Angie, could you have taken him? You can't take him out now, obviously. But
no.
Was that an option back on March 9th? And were you told it was an option?
I was never told it was an option.
No.
I lost my job. I was in the food service industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been sitting at home.
You could have taken, and you would have taken care of it. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. The only reason he was there is because I had to work.
Let me ask you a question. Why couldn't someone go in, if he gets tested and he's negative, you get tested and you're negative, why can't you go in at this point and bring him out?
That's the question that I'd like to ask people, but you can't get out. You have to go down there. And then, like I said, you get the media gets one response. And the families are getting another.
Yeah, and you should be getting the responses, not us. Yeah.
I shouldn't have to see my phone start pinging people texting me and saying, are you okay? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because it's all over the news.
Yeah, absolutely. It was all over WJL radio first, and that was a couple of days ago when Monica found out that 23 people had died at the time. Now it's up to 25. Yeah, I don't understand why you can't go in and get your loved one. I mean, I don't get that. Just as long as everybody passes the test, and you don't even have to pass the test. Just have someone there, wheel him out. If he hasn't, you know, come up with any symptoms, we perform yourself, right?
Well, absolutely. And what is the difference in a CNA being garbed and me being garbed and going in there and taking care of my father,
bringing him
food that he can eat and survive on?
Well, I understand they don't want people coming in from the outside, but I would just make it an option where if dad is healthy enough, and he sounds like he is, even though he's got his issues with Parkinson's and dementia, that because they should want to get rid of some of these people too. That's one less guy they have to worry about, right?
Yeah, because he's not the one that he goes out. They let him. He smokes 3 times a day up until the announcement of the 22. Patients dying, he was allowed to roll out front and smoke.
Wow.
I would drive my car up and speak to him through my window. That's why I got that videotape.
Wow. Angie.
Well,
so now they're not, I was obviously allowing in that. Now that people know what's really going on inside there. This is shocking. It's inexplicable. Again, this is a pandemic. We've never seen anything like this before. But we're now 6 weeks into this thing as far as nursing homes go, and thanks for giving me the exact date. There should be a better way to do this, and there's got to be some communication, for crying out loud. Please stay in touch with us, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
And pass this information along to your father, that all of us here at WJL Radio and people listening are thinking about him and everyone else over there in all the nursing homes, and we are certainly praying for them in this horrible situation. This is not how end of life or near end of life should be.
Absolutely not.